Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Welcome once again to Whiskey Congress. We have a whiskey to review. It is not the whiskey that I had to pay for losing the Super Bowl bet as to whether or not Janet Jackson would show up. Which she did not. You won the bet, and I did buy a bottle of whiskey.
You did.
And next week we will talk about that bottle of whiskey. But last week, on Super Bowl Sunday,
right,
you came by with a new bottle of whiskey, and our schedule got all jacked up. We didn't get to drink it. So thank you for bringing it. And
No problem. So this is Glenmorangie Nectar Dior. It's one of my favorite go-to whiskeys. It's something that I go to, like, if you need a good quality whiskey in a pinch, typically you'll be able to find this in your stores. It's got a nice, good, solid, strong ABV. The flavor is
What's the ABV?
46%.
Is it really? Wow. Yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, it's not a lightweight. So the 46% puts it at a 92 proof, right?
Correct.
So, It's one of my favorite go-tos in terms of good quality whiskey with a good quality ABV with great flavor that you typically can find for a good price. So you've had a chance to take a couple sips.
I have.
What do you think?
You know what? I originally gave it a 90. I bumped it to a 91 and then to a 92. So I'm going with a 92. It's really, so here's the funny thing.
It grows on you.
It does. It has a burn to it, but it's a good kind of burn. It's like a burn on the front. It's not unpleasant. You just feel the alcohol without it overpowering the flavor. It's got a really kind of nice citrusy finish.
Yes.
And the first time I tasted it, I thought, did I eat an orange?
Yeah. I'm a big fan. The taste for me, in terms of a rating wise, I gave it a 92.
Oh wow! See,
right,
great, and
dead on,
right?
And I gave it a 92 as well. The flavor is just amazing to me. It's sweet. There's a honey flavor to it.
Great.
A slight hint, a touch of vanilla. And then you said the citrus on the back end.
It kind of cleans up the
alcohol at the beginning. But I think you only get that alcohol in the beginning if you haven't had it before.
Okay,
I think if you go back to it again after this, you probably won't notice.
Heat is the wrong word, but it's got a warm.
It's a 92 proof alcohol, so you're
the fact that it's that smooth that yes. ABV is impressive.
So that's one of my go tos that I like to have on hand. Because it's a quality whiskey, and Glenmorangie did a good job.
What's the price tag?
For that bottle, I believe it's between $65 and $70.
Okay, so it's not crazy, but not a day to day.
No, it's not crazy, but I mean, it's definitely something that's worth having in the liquor cabinet for guests that know their scotch and know their whiskey, if you're trying to show off, but you don't want to. You don't want to bust out the Pappy, or you don't want to bust out a toner bottle.
Or you can't find the Pappy because it's easier to find a leprechaun riding a unicorn than to find that stuff. Holy fuck.
Well, I have a bottle.
You did? You ended up getting one?
What's that?
You got one? I thought you gave up because of the price. I think you fucking lied to me.
No.
I asked you this, and you told
me. When we talked.
When we talked, it was a true. Okay.
I was looking for a bottle. You asked me if the bottle I was looking for...
Are you about to Bill Clinton me? Depends on what your definition of a bottle is. Is that what you're about?
You asked me if I was looking for a bottle of Pappy, and at that point in time, I said no, and I couldn't find what I was looking for. And you said, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure. You're like, okay. But I was looking for a very high-end bottle, but it wasn't Pappy. And I had my hands on it, but I lost my grip.
It depends on what your definition of is. Okay. Depends on what your definition backstabbing co-host is.
Listen, I'm always working in the background. Don't worry about that. Listen, you've been privy to plenty of good quality whiskey.
On your dime.
Fair. I don't keep you in the dark.
Did I ever tell you about the one time you actually gave some Pappy to me? Did I tell you what I was going to do? I was going to try to swap, like, just a 10 high or something and, like, make you see and just shoot what you thought was Pappy. And
what was your thought? Take me through your thought process
in doing that.
On that.
Yeah. It would be fucking hilarious until you punched me in the face.
Right. So that part where I punched you in the face, you realize you wouldn't have had a long, there wouldn't have been
it's
a big
gap.
It's
got a very, very, very hot finish, almost like my jawbone is broken.
Weird.
Anyway, so now that that reveal came out on air.
Had the reveal.
Yes. Speaking of reveals, so you put it on our website, whiskeycongress.com.
So, let me bring this out. So, I'm, what was it, Thursday at work, long day. I go to lunch. I'm you know, kind of buzzing through news that's popping up. And Quincy Jones, his name keeps popping up. Now, listen. Quincy Jones is a legendary producer. I mean, he did a lot of work with Michael Jackson. He's been he's a orchestra conductor. He's done the Grammys. He's done, you know, major movie scores. I mean, he's just the guy when it comes to music. He's been, you know, he was born in 1930. He's been around music and impacting music since, you know, probably the 50s until today. He turns 85 this year, and he did an interview with Vulture magazine, and I read it because I as you know, I like history. I like
and music.
I mean, I love music. I love history, and so an interview with Quincy Jones is right in my wheelhouse. So I start reading this interview, thinking that it's just going to be, you know, your typical old guy, you know, like, hey, you know, respect your elders and, you know, live while you can and don't waste your youth and blah, 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 blah. And it is.
And you got the bonus package.
Wow. I mean, my man, Q came with it. And he, listen, I mean, like some of the highlights, I mean, you can go to whiskeycongress.com and check out the story that I wrote. On Quincy Jones.
And it links you to the Vulture story, so you get both of them right there.
Right, I mean, you can get all of it, but, I mean, some of the highlights, he drops this bombshell that you probably have heard by now that, you know, Quincy Jones had sex, or I'm sorry, not Quincy Jones, Marlon Brando had sex with both Richard Pryor and Marvin Gaye. Okay, now, if you slow down and you think about it, right, let's just slow down. Richard Pryor grew up in a brothel. If you don't, like, I mean, like, Richard Pryor's life story is a mess. But
yeah.
He grew up in a brothel. He was, you know, I think he was a crack addict. Crack.
It was coke.
He was crack. Because when he set himself on fire, pretty sure that was crack involved.
Okay. I thought it was pre-crack. It was an 8-ball. He was screwing around with heroin and...
Okay, heroin, anyway, crack, cocaine. Right. I mean, he had some drug issues.
Yes, sir, he did.
Can we just settle Richard Pryor has some drug issues? Let's not
split that arrow.
But that same guy who had drug issues also set himself on fire, right? I mean, like, so Richard Pryor had issues. So it may or may not, or it should or should not be maybe a big surprise that maybe he had some bisexual tendencies, right? He grew up in a brothel. He had some drug issues. You know, it was the 70s, Studio 54, all that sort of stuff. So that shouldn't be that big of a surprise. Marvin Gaye also probably shouldn't be that big of a surprise. I mean, Marvin Gaye's father was very abusive, you know, constantly told him that he was ugly and he wasn't good enough. I mean, he just had that sultry voice. I mean, there's enough to say, okay, maybe this shouldn't be a surprise. All that being said, surprised the shit out of me.
Marlon Brando fucked them or got fucked by them. I don't care.
And the way it reads, he's talking about how, like, smooth and how such a, you know, a man's man Marlon Brando is, and he was a charming motherfucker. And then he just slides in there that he fucked Richard Pryor and that he fucked Marvin Gaye.
And he didn't say you would fuck a mailbox. I mean, he said Marlon Brando.
Yeah, I mean, Marlon Brando would fuck anybody. Okay, like, okay, again, fine. And if you think about it, again, that makes sense. The Godfather and every other great role that Marlon Brando played. But again, like, you don't sit there thinking that from Quincy Jones, you're going to get a story about Marlon Brando fucking Richard Pryor or fucking Marvin Gaye.
Yes. And that's not even.
No, I mean, here's the thing. Richard Pryor's ex-wife or widow confirmed it. Yes. Like, yeah, that happened. Yeah, I mean, it was the 70s. It happens. Like, whoa, listen, I drink a lot. I have not had sex with a man.
least of all of the
right
Academy Award winning star of The Godfather.
Academy Award winning B movie winning. Right. I haven't had sex with any men that have won any awards. Any men. Period.
Okay, I was gonna
say. Award winning men or otherwise. So
I have a hard time picturing Marlon Brando and Richard Pryor in the same room.
Stop.
In the same room.
Picturing just, them
no,
doing
it. No, I'm saying I don't see them in the same social circles. It makes sense.
But again, does it?
No.
How does it make sense?
No. Even the era doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I mean, they were both huge at the same time. So I guess that.
I think Hollywood, what we've come to learn, especially in this age of, you know, Harvey Weinstein and Kevin Spacey and everything that those guys have been accused of. And you see some of the people who are accusing them, what you realize is the breadth and the wide sweeping nature of Hollywood. And so for me, it almost doesn't matter who they are. You know what I mean? Like, they're all famous. They're all Hollywood famous people. So to me, I can see it, right? I don't know how you get Marlon Brando and Richard Pryor in the same room.
I'm sure the parties in those days I'm sure they're still crazy today, but you throw in the 70s drug culture and the utter lack of.
Exactly. I think you were the bigger part is if you throw in that the drug culture, which I don't think is really that much different now. It's not.
Well, I mean, there's still drugs. The drugs are different. There was no ecstasy back then.
Okay,
but you can blame shit on ecstasy.
There's still weed and cocaine.
Yes, there are.
Right,
there's still heroin.
Right, there's still weed and cocaine and heroin. And
this is where we need to separate out weed from the rest of the drugs, because I don't think you can get high enough to get Marlon Brando to fuck Richard Pryor on weed. I think you need some cocaine or heroin in there. I'm not speaking from experience.
I don't know how much fucking you're doing on heroin from just understanding what that drug is, but I think. Okay, fine.
All right. I mean,
maybe.
Not worth analyzing because that's not, I mean, that is the biggest bombshell of the Quincy Jones thing. But talk about a dude who's unfiltered.
I mean, think about the
Beatles were garbage. He didn't say they were garbage. He said Paul McCartney was a terrible guitarist.
He said that the Beatles musically were terrible.
Yeah.
All of them.
Instrumentally,
that they were terrible. And then
Ringo Starr. Paul McCartney was a bassist.
He said Paul McCartney was the worst bassist that he had ever seen. And, you know, he was talking about Ringo Starr and George Harrison.
George Harrison also.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like, just some of those references to those guys. And, I mean, Michael Jackson stealing music and how he criticized Michael Jackson about the plastic surgery and, you know, what we knew that Michael Jackson was making excuses, you know, about this disease and, you know,
right,
Quincy Jones,
right,
like,
right,
bullshit.
Bullshit.
And this is the one that I think got a lot of play. And the more I think about it, where he says he dated Ivanka Trump, he maybe went on a date or two with Ivanka Trump. I don't know, you know, dating, you think they went on multiple dates. There was some sort of sexual relationship. I don't know if Ivanka.
I wonder if he would have spilled. I mean, he didn't hold much back. He did hold back on Cosby. He said he wouldn't talk about Cosby.
Right.
And maybe he wouldn't have been so crass towards Ivanka Trump because of what it would do to her. I mean, that's the thing. This is not the weird rantings of some crazy old man. He seems lucid. He's just telling it.
I mean, I think it's the... You know what I like to reckon it or compare it to is... Well, not compare it to. This is what it is. He's going to be 85 this year.
Right.
He gives no fucks.
He's rich. He's rich.
Listen, exactly. I mean, what are you going to take from him? I mean, he's won every Lifetime Achievement Award. He's won Grammys. He's won Oscars. He's been on movies and mega soundtracks and albums. And, you know, I mean, he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He might even be in the damn NFL Hall of Fame. I don't know.
I don't believe
he's there. I mean, he's all over the place. His impact on this world is cemented. And I don't think that there's going to be a sex thing that comes out with him, and maybe
if there is,
I think that I mean he's not Bill Cosby. I don't think he was drugging anybody or anything like that. So even if someone says, "Oh, Quincy Jones touched my butt inappropriately 20 years ago," I don't think it will impact him the way that maybe it has some other people, like this Kevin Spacey issue.
Right.
And I think people will move past it. And Quincy Jones is a legend. He will die a legend. Period.
My guess is if something like that has come out, he'll go, "Yeah, it was the 70s. Sorry."
Right. Yeah, I mean, he's like, I did it. And I mean, if you want to, I mean, yeah, okay. But, so, I mean, we should have been having this conversation 40 years ago, is essentially what he would probably say.
Speaking of Ivanka Trump, you and I were having a drink before the show, And we've kind of come to a decision that we are not going to fall into the all Trump all the time
trap anymore. Listen, I don't think it's fair to anymore. Listen, anybody who's doing news, doing podcasts that deal with current events, or just events, got sucked into the Trump vortex, right?
Including us,
we got sucked into it. You and I had many discussions about this, kind of where we wanted our show to go and what we wanted to do. And finally, I think we've just come to the point where there's other things happening in the world to talk about that I think personally, you and I both agree that are more interesting. If something massive happens,
sure,
then we'll talk about it.
You know, or if it's something that isn't like already
right. So much of this stuff gets beat up. You hear it any news channel you listen to, any network, cable, Fox, NBC, right. MSNBC, all that other. I mean, you're going to hear it. You can find it. It's all over social media. I'm sure your friends are talking about it. I'm sure, sure. Everyone is talking about it. And we don't need to club you over the head with that. And so we're not going to shoehorn and force President Trump conversation into our show anymore.
However, when his daughter bangs Quincy Jones, we're going to talk about it.
If in fact
that happened.
Yes. Wow. If you as fans disagree, let us know. If you want to hear about Trump every week, then, I mean, you can email us, steve@whiskeycongress.com, jim@whiskeycongress.com. You could obviously, on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, wherever, you find us, you can go to our website, leave a comment. If you want us to talk about Trump every week, then fine, we will. But I have a feeling...
I think we need a website called Whiskey Leaks where we give out information Julian Assange.
Where we drop all our bombshells because people leak so much information to us. we should see what happens. I feel like not a lot will happen, but I mean it's worth it. Who knows? Maybe we'll
I've got sources, Steve. Maybe I've got connections to the deep state. The chemtrails didn't work.
We can be somebody's deep throat. Pause.
Moving on. Pause. Moving on. Moving on. Pause. So,
anyway.
Yes.
So, I just.
That mutual derailment, like, you're going to Alex Jones? Fine. Yeah, I'll go. Okay.
I do what
apparently,
I can.
Glenn Morangi causes you to become dicks to each other.
Gets me frisky.
Yes.
But if you get a chance, go to our website, check out the article I wrote on Quincy Jones and his just kind of candidness regarding everything. He also knows who killed JFK, by the way.
I saw that.
Which I'm surprised you didn't completely fall out of
your chair. No, no. Sam Giancana has been around for...
Everybody, if you're following...
I believe there's... All right, so Sam Giancana was a Chicago mobster who shared a mistress with John F. Kennedy, and has long been linked to the Kennedy assassination. And I am totally comfortable saying he was involved, but he was not the ringleader.
Okay. Well,
take that, Quincy Jones. Oh. Check out whiskeyleaks.com to find out who really killed JFK. Yeah.
There you go.
How you like that?
That's a good plug for something that we can't do shit with. But like I said, check that out on our website. You can read what I wrote, my kind of commentary on it, and then you can actually check out the whole article from there as well. Moving on, staying in the realm of entertainment. Yes. Next week, we have Black Panther coming out. It's a Marvel comic in the Marvel Universe. I'm very excited for this. And I will talk about excitement in general regarding this movie. What I'll say is the reason why I'm excited is that I have on this show multiple times said I'm a big fan of comic books. I've read Marvel and DC. I've read probably more Marvel than I did DC. I'm a big fan of the Marvel Universe in general and the way it all ties together. And I'm a big Black Panther fan. Now, the Black Panther comic book was just, in general, it was awesome. You had, this hero who was from this country that's not real, Wakanda, He was basically a black version of Tony Stark with more money, better technology, and an entire, army and civilization behind him. He was also at one point in time married to Storm.
From X-Men, huh?
Yeah, from X-Men. Okay. Storm is actually from Africa. She ended up coming over here, but that's, you know, neither here nor there. I highly doubt that they will get into that in this comic. But it was a pretty cool comic to read. Now, for me, the key is, like, similar to Luke Cage, was I'm black. He was a black hero. I could relate to him.
Sure.
And because you read these comic books, and before that, I related to The Incredible Hulk. Right, I mean, and he was green, but I related to him because he was big and he was strong, and I was the big ogre of a kid, and I needed something to relate to.
And he was angry, so you
right, and he was angry, and right, and I was a big angry kid, and I related to the Incredible Hulk, and then I started reading the Black Panther, and you know, and Black Panther came about in the '60s, in the late, actually, I think in, I want to say '63 or '65.
Oh wow, okay, I didn't know that.
And then he got
during the Civil Rights Movement, geez,
right? And directly related to, I mean, Stan Lee and those guys did a really good job of correlating what was going on at the time through the comic books. You see that a lot, and a lot of people, you know, especially conservatives, talk about how these comic book movies now push these narratives of women and minorities and being different, like, you know, like, oh, well, they're fighting the progressive liberal agenda, blah, blah, blah. No, this is what, I mean, they're taking the stories from these comic books that were written, you know, 40, 50 years ago, and that was what was going on then, right? Like, they're not pushing a narrative from now. They're pushing, that's the thing. This is some of these things with women's rights and women as leaders and minorities and blacks and Latinos and everything else. Like, this shit's been going on in this country for a long time, and it's been in comic books for a long time, and now we're seeing it put in cinematic form, and only now people are starting to kind of recognize how art was imitating life all this time. And so with Black Panther,
is it now though, because this is now mainstream, right? I'm guessing in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, Black Panther was out there and the people who were into it loved it, but it's not like it was the front of the entertainment world was Black Panther.
I mean, but none of the comic books were back then. True, I mean, other than Superman and maybe, you know, Spider-Man,
right,
and a few others. I mean, comic books really weren't in the mainstream. Like, I mean, there were a lot of movies.
I mean, even the Michael Keaton Batman was big,
Batman
was huge.
Batman was huge, but.
But this is the first one that breaks that barrier. Oddly, Wonder Woman came out this year. That's the first female. I mean, saying first is not accurate.
Well, and that's where you got to be careful, right? Because Slate.com, it's a magazine or online magazine. They came out and said, you know, Black Panther, first black superstar hero movie, you know, in cinematic format ever, right? And it's You've never seen Blade. Clearly, you've never seen a Will Smith movie. Clearly, you've never seen a Denzel Washington movie. You know, I mean, so it's, you know, clearly you never saw, you know, Lethal Weapon. Clearly, you didn't see Bad Boys.
What was almost Shaq? But I guess if they're starting to say this is the first one of the comic book genre, it's still not true.
It's still not true because you have Blade.
And what was the one with Steel with Shaq? Was that comic book or was that just more? I'm not saying it was good. I'm not going to go Simon Says with Dennis Rodman on you. I'm just going to.
Jesus Christ. But I mean, there's been plenty of movies. I mean, even Spawn.
Oh, right. Okay.
You know, I mean, that character is also black. You know,
but this is the heyday of the comic book movie. I mean,
if you want to say it's the biggest, if you want to say it has the biggest budget, the most,
you mean
the
most Black Panther, particular?
Black Panther.
Okay, right? Is that true? I don't know. Is it the biggest budget? Okay,
yeah,
okay,
I mean, yes.
but Spider-Man set a new.
I mean, if you're talking about in terms
dollars.
Of where the superhero is black.
Oh yeah, yeah, okay.
Right.
Okay. I was just talking comic book movies in general.
If we're talking about where
the superhero is black,
the main focal point where the guy that everyone is paying attention to is black, then yeah, this is the biggest, by far. But it's definitely not the first, and let's not do Hollywood a disservice by saying they've never done this or tried this before. Blade was massive, and they did. I mean, I think they did five. I mean, they did three that
I
were
three for sure. I didn't
three
know
for that. Sure. And then they did other spinoffs or whatever. And it's not
Blade,
even
Blade
the,
with a Vengeance, Live Free or Blade Hard. Okay, sorry.
All right. But I mean, like I said, I mean, there was Blade. There was Spawn. There was not Hitchcock. Yeah, Hitchcock.
Yeah, Hitchcock. Yeah, the Will Smith.
Or Hancock.
Hancock, that's right.
Hancock.
there was also Alfred Hitchcock, but that was right, nothing
I mean,
to do with
And then there was also I Am Legend. There was also right. Independence Day. You know, like there, sure. I mean, the, you know, Bad Boys. I mean, again, if we're just talking about where, you black know, the two black right. guys were heroes. And then, you know, I mean, pretty much every Denzel Washington movie where he was a lead hero, whatever.
Except for Training Day when he was just a bad motherfucker.
Right. And ended up being a bad guy. But listen, this isn't the first time we've seen, you know, a black superstar as the lead
right.
in a movie where Hollywood said, we're going to put, we're banking on you as the lead actor with other black supporting actors and actresses to be the hero. This isn't the first time. It's just the biggest and most anticipated, which is also good.
True.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, though, I mean, like, there are a lot of black people who are, it almost feels like they're putting all their hopes and dreams and everything in life into this movie, like they've never seen anything like this before. And I think that there needs to be a certain level of self-respect as a black person when you're going into this movie. I'm going into it as a comic book fan. I'm going into it as a Black Panther fan from the comics. I'm going into it as a Marvel Universe fan. And I'm going into it as an action junkie, right? I mean, it just looks like right. there's going to be some high-tech, great fight scenes, all that other shit. And I'm very fully aware of the cultural impact that this movie is going to have, because this movie is going to it's going to have a predominantly black cast. It's going to highlight African culture and things about Africa that a lot of people don't know. Now, it's made up, it's Wakanda, whatever, but they had to draw a lot from the continent of Africa, and they had to go and get a lot of information from there. They've got African actors in it, and that matters. And the reason why that matters is because as a black American with African roots, I don't often get to see blacks and Africans portrayed in this type of light. Right? Now, if right. you want to talk about truths and things as how they're seen, like how often are black people put in a movie with this sort of backing, with this sort of support, with this sort of critical acclaim, where a majority of the people in this movie are going to be shown in a good, positive light as the heroes, as the people that if you are a fan of good, you're going to side with.
And right? with major Hollywood backing. And
with major Hollywood, and with other white actors, right? Because, you know, Captain America, what's his name?
Chris Evans
is going to have to make an appearance in this. Right, because last time we saw Captain America in
Avengers,
Civil War, or Avengers, no,
Avengers,
I think the last time we saw Captain America, he was with Black Panther in Wakanda recovering.
Oh, okay,
right. I mean, that was the last time we saw. Yeah, it was Civil. Yeah, it was Civil War, and he was injured, and Black Panther took him back. Took him back to Wakanda to help him recover. So I mean, he's gonna have. Where I think we're gonna have to see, Captain America in this one. I think.
Okay. I like comic book movies, but I'm not nearly as passionate about them
right,
as you are.
I mean, okay, and that's fine. But I read them as a youth. So my point is, there is a major cultural impact here that can't be underplayed, but it needs to be. I think as a comic book fan, as a fan of movies, as a fan of action, and as a black person, as an African American, I think we just have to be balanced with this. I think that you can't get too overexcited for the wrong reasons, and you don't want to underplay it too much for the wrong reasons. Like I think at the end of the day, you have to just go.
You just said it the other day.
And fine, I'll drink. I think you have to go and you just have to enjoy the movie, right?
Right.
You have to just go and enjoy the movie in the Marvel Universe.
For what it is. It's a comic book movie. Right. I love them.
And I'll tell you this. I have one complaint about this movie.
All right.
It's Chadwick Boseman. And it's not because I don't think that he's a good Black Panther, because I think he is actually a perfect guy to play the role, although I wish he would have beefed up a little bit. But I just think that all problems can be solved with lifting heavy weights
yes.
and being stronger.
Yes, yes, we're aware of that.
But my problem is that Chadwick Boseman, like, is the only black actor who can play black people in any movie of significance. I mean, think about who Chadwick Boseman has been. Okay? He's been Black Panther, going backwards.
Right.
He's been Thurgood Marshall. He's been James Brown.
Wow. Okay.
He was Jackie Robinson. I mean, listen, I like the guy.
So he was in 42.
Jackie Robinson.
Right. I'm saying, and he was right. Jacked in that movie. He was at least that size in this movie.
He was Jackie Robinson. I mean, he was fit.
He was very fit.
Listen, I'm talking superhero.
All right. Jacked. All right. Well.
Right, I'm talking superhero Jack. There's a difference.
All right.
I mean, black. I mean,
he was
Jackie
he
was, Robinson was
every bit of Ryan Reynolds in Deadpool jacked.
Okay,
every bit of that.
Right, but I think one of my biggest. All right, how about this? Let's just. This isn't directly completely all.
All right. Jack,
I
all mean, right.
I think one of the Hollywood's biggest things that they're missing, they are missing the muscular aspect of these superheroes. Right. In these different comic books, they've kind of gotten it right with Batman. They beefed Ben Affleck. I mean, Ben Affleck got pretty jacked for Batman in these reboots. And then they made his suit bigger and beefier. But that also deals with the fact that he's older and the suits are bigger to protect him. But blah, blah, blah. But I think one area where all these comic book movies are screwing up is get these guys jacked. It's fucking movies. Roid them up. I don't give a shit. They're superheroes. Listen, when you go in a comic book. Point is
Batman needs all those toys, though, because he's not super jacked.
Yes,
he's
a rich in the white comic guy. Book, he is. Listen, in the comic books, you know why I love the. You know why I work out now the way that I do? Is because you look at these guys.
Could be the Green Beast.
Because they, these guys were monsters. They were all huge and jacked and ripped, and they had abs and veins, but they were massive, all of them across the board, right?
When I make the Green Beast joke, you know what I'm talking about? It's an obscure movie reference. Obscure movie reference.
You can kill a vibe.
I'm trying to take you off this. I'm saving you from yourself. It's from the movie The Kingdom with Jamie Foxx. Anyway, go ahead.
Jamie Foxx is another one who's been a hero in movies before.
Good point.
Anyway, I think that's where Hollywood and Marvel and DC are missing the bag. I think that the actors could be more jacked, and I think my image of the Black Panther was a bigger was Carl Weathers in Predator
okay.
or Mr. T or something like that, just obviously with a better intellect and a better dialect. So anyway, but that's Black Panther. It's coming out next week. I'm excited. Actually, me and my mom are gonna go on a date to see it. She's cool. Coming up, and we're gonna go see a early matinee show on Saturday and check it out.
What will be disappointing to see if it happens. Are people who react to this the way they reacted to the Luke Cage show on with like
already they're already doing it
really
already there are people on Twitter who are saying there's why so many there's so many black people in the cast that's racist. There are people who are literally already doing it.
All right,
why are there so many black people in the cast and it's all to satisfy progressive liberals? It's like no, because it's a How movie about it's a movie about an African all right, dude.
So I think there's times when like the the Oscar's so white thing, and I think there's times when that card gets overplayed. But if they would have cast Ben Affleck as Black Panther, that would have been the ultimate.
Well, listen, and that goes back to the Dave Chappelle show, right? With what was his name, Carl Mooney?
Paul Mooney.
Paul Mooney, right? Where we're at a point now where they're gonna do a movie called The Last Nigger on Earth, and it's going to be starring Tom Hanks.
Now, you're coming up with your obscure references, but that's a great one.
Right. They're doing a movie about an African dude, so there's going to be a lot of African people in it.
Yes.
Right? An African guy who is the king of an African country in Africa. So, yes, he's going to be surrounded by a lot of black people. So,
to be all about race, Steve?
Exactly. I don't know. I mean, we'll stop talking about it when you motherfuckers stop talking about it and judging us on it. How about that?
It does as the from the white perspective. That is something I just totally. Whether it's this or flipping from race to gender, all the people that wig the fuck out about the all female Ghostbusters is like, this isn't like being talk to your kids in second grade mandatorily. If you want to see the movie, see it. If you don't. When the fact that someone's making something, and apparently from what I've heard on the reviews, Black Panther's getting phenomenal reviews. if they're making a good quality movie.
Oh, well, I mean, but the critics are saying the only reason it's getting those reviews is because it's about Black Panther, and white people and blah, blah, blah.
If this was White Panther, it would be...
Right. No, by the way, I thought the reboot of Ghostbusters was funny with the woman.
I've only seen, like, a little bit of it.
I think Melissa McCarthy's hilarious.
Oh, you do? And Leslie Jones is hilarious.
I thought it was great. I thought it was a good...
I thought it depicted men in a bad light because Chris Hemsworth was played in a stupid way. I'm being sarcastic as fuck.
I also like him. I mean, I don't know. I like the movie.
Who's jacked for his role as Thor.
Well, but even he, for Ragnarok, he slimmed down. Like, if you look at Hemsworth in the first couple of Thors and you look at him now, like, he trimmed down. Like, the fucker went vegan or
something. Steve has been training for a powerlifting meet, in case you can't tell.
Right. So, Now, oddly enough, I've actually lost weight since I started training, but I was carrying a lot of bad weight from traveling and everything else. But
yeah, you've tightened up. Not to get weird on you.
I've cleaned up the diet and went heavy, so now that's all my brain thinks about is just heavy lifting and eating.
I'll bet I can deadlift Thor. You couldn't pick the hammer up though. It's specific to him. Oh, I'm saying you couldn't do it.
No, it's not specific to him. You just have to be a good fucking person.
Oh, then you're fucked.
It's not strength related. It's just that I'm an awful human being. That's fair.
All right. I was going to say, speaking of awful human beings, but I won't do that. No. Shots fired. Oh. All right, so I'm still a little bitter towards Mike Wood about his jokes about my comedy. We talked today, and you know, we're talking about a bunch of random shit. Just thoughts about our show and thoughts about stuff he did. He just did a Four Cops on the same podcast thing that was interesting. It was really interesting to watch him say logical things and then have it get turned into something that it was not at all what he was trying to communicate.
Well, because the one guy seemed like his heart was in the right place, but obviously the guy doesn't seem like the brightest light on the tree or whatever.
Right, right.
So, I mean, he couldn't think beyond his...
We should tweet out the link to this and we'll probably forget.
Whatever. But anyway, we were talking to Mike.
It was a good conversation. Good talking to him. Obviously, Mike moved from California
to Arizona.
He moved to Arizona.
Okay,
and he was telling me because we've talked so much about you know me being a CCW holder and handguns and whatever. Mike, as a former police officer, told me he went to there's some card, I forget what they call it, when you're a member of the Fraternal Order of Police, that you basically get a concealed carry permit very easily because you've served or whatever.
Retired police officers get a special CCW.
We trust you to be responsible, whatever. And he said he went to get that, and they said, yeah, you can get it, but don't know why you need it because you can carry wherever you want. So can every other citizen of the state of Arizona. So he was just blown away by this
because because Arizona gives no fucks about guns.
Yeah, right. Apparently,
but everybody should have one.
And you should be...
Wait, is that your daughter? How old is she? 12?
12, great. Yeah.
Give her one. Here, she gets a revolver.
But she should carry a suit. So he was... Anyway, he called me, he told me this, and he was just laughing his ass off about how, like, oh, yeah, you can have this card, but it won't mean shit, because if you have... if you have a Shoppers Club card, right, you can have a CCW.
If you have a pulse and you're not a Mexican, you can have a gun.
Right. Actually, it was funny. I was talking about that, and I said to him... I told him a story about how I may or may not have driven a firearm across from... So I was joking about how... Not joking, talking about how...
spit it out.
I can carry... I had a gun in my truck when I was on a project in Michigan. I'm legal in Ohio. I'm legal in Indiana. I'm legal when I get to Michigan. And then I had to rush to Chicago. Mm. And I'm in Chicago, and it dawns on me, holy shit, I've got a firearm in my truck.
Yeah.
And I said to Mike, like, if I got pulled over and searched, I'd be fucked. He said, yeah, but you're white. Don't worry about it.
Like, yeah. I mean, there's a really bad story about a woman who had her CCW. I believe she was from, I want to say, either Pennsylvania or New York, and then went to New Jersey. And she was with her kids, and she got pulled over. And when they pulled her over, she said, hey, I've got my CCW and I got my weapon on me, and the laws in New Jersey are very strict that you can't have handguns, and they arrested her. I feel like she spent 3 to 4 years in jail.
Holy shit.
For carrying a handgun over state lines, even though she had a concealed carry permit.
It's all about reciprocity.
It's about reciprocity and knowing the laws where you go. And you know, I think that if we're not going to have a more global solution to the problem of handguns and guns and everything else, if we're not going to, I mean, because the global solution is we, one, have to penalize the gun manufacturers, and then we also have to, you know, get the guns off the street, and we have to, you know, have massive programs to pull the guns off the streets, provide really massive incentives to do so. If we're not going to do that, then there's certain things that we need to do, right? I mean,
we're not going to do that.
Right. I mean, it's not going to happen. So, like, reciprocity for those who have CCWs needs to be something that's acknowledged, right? Because those that are committing violent crimes with guns are not your
typically
not your CCW owners. Now, right. I mean, you do have your...
Well, for one thing, you get fingerprinted. At least not all, you get fingerprinted. You get background checked. You go through a class. You have to show proficiency, although the proficiency right. you have to show is insultingly easy. But,
well, you know, I mean, just because I think some people would be freaking out right now and saying, oh, yeah, because you do have the CC... You know, the abusive husband,
right?
Or, you know, where situations where there's domestic violence and abuse involved. I mean, I think there was just a story not too many months ago where you had a guy who was in the military who had got busted for abusing his ex-wife, and then he ended up killing people. Oh, the guy at the church
of Texas.
Who killed
all those people
in Texas. Yep. So it's not an end all be all solution, but I think that if we're going to have common sense gun laws, let's have common sense gun laws, right? I mean, let's have...
Or just go full Arizona and say, yeah, tuck that 38 under your... in your pocket.
Which, something about that doesn't seem smart, but I mean, at the same time, I'm also advocating for, all right, everybody, let's just all be willy-nilly and have, you know, everybody, if you can, no matter where you're from, if you're from Texas, you can take your gun into Oklahoma or Ohio or Pennsylvania. So, I don't know, what's the difference? You know, I mean, what's the difference between Arizona's we don't give a fuck and, well, you have to have a CCW, but there needs to be reciprocity across the country.
But
right?
the truth like, is, the you, but you drive across to into California and suddenly you're in a much stricter state.
Right. Where, I mean, California literally lists, you can only own these 7 guns, right? I mean, it's...
You're exaggerating, but yes.
Right. But, I mean, it's kind of...
Perfect. Sure.
Kind of ridiculous.
All right. So you brought a story to my attention. We had our disagreements a couple weeks ago about the Aziz Ansari thing. The Me Too movement has been a big deal. It really hasn't filtered into politics nearly as much as it has entertainment, which is what?
What are you talking about? You were just yelling at me about Al Franken not too long ago.
Oh, fair enough. Okay.
All right.
I don't think it's been as...
Someone from the White House has had to resign just this week.
But that wasn't for sexual assault. That's actually beat up his 2 ex-wives. I was... When you were saying...
I mean, he beat the shit out of her. Oh, my God.
I mean, it was Ray Rice bad from the bruise.
Oh, my God. I mean, he had to have hit her. I mean, because it was her eye and her nose. It was awful.
Yeah.
What's his name? I don't even know. I mean,
Portman is popping into my head.
I want to say Rob Portman, but I think Rob Portman's
right.
I feel like that might be somebody from Ohio, though.
That, you know what? You're right. Unfortunately, you got the thing in front of you. I have my phone.
Anyway,
a state assembly person from the state of California has been accused of sexually assaulting men, and she's a woman.
And she's a huge Me Too advocate. I mean, the whole movement about women, you know, coming forward right. about their experiences with sexual harassment and improper sexual contact from men. Some of her tweets have just been, I won't work with this person because, you know, there's a rumor about his inappropriate behavior and all that sort of stuff and things she can't stand for and things that we as a society shouldn't stand for. And then it comes out that at, you know, holiday party, and, you know, there's a couple of different instances where she was drunk and, you know, she grabbed a male staffer, like rubbed on his back, grabbed his butt, tried to grab his dick, you know, grab on his crotch, whatever. And, you know, it's interesting. Now, I think we have to be careful with this.
Okay.
Because I don't think... The reason you got to be careful with this is everything about the Me Too movement is very real. In my opinion, I think that women have to deal with things. Listen, there's a natural biological thing with men and women. Men pursue women. That's how we're chemically built.
We're wired, right?
That's how, yeah, exactly. That's how we're wired. Now, apparently, there's been some deviation, and some of the men and some of the women are wired a little bit different, and that's not what they do. They go after the same team or whatever.
Okay.
But for the most part, men pursue women. They want to be with them sexually. They want to mate with them. They want to have sex with them. And we've evolved as humans. And so there's intellect.
As a society, you no longer clunk a woman on the head and drag her back to your cave.
And, right. Like, I mean, now, I mean, there's so many other variables that go into it where, and men have, we as humans, we've evolved, and self-control has become a part of our everyday functionality, right? You can't just act on impulse.
Right.
And yet women still daily have to deal with men acting on impulse in ways that they don't feel comfortable with and shouldn't have to, right? Where men like Matt Lauer call them into their office, lock the door, and then whip their dick out. Or other men come up and grab a woman, you know, by her ass or try to jam their fingers up her crotch or down her throat or whatever. Just all sorts of uncomfortable things. Or they just send random pics of their genitalia, their dicks, and they send them via text or email or what have you. And these are things that women deal with on a daily basis.
Now, and it used to happen with no consequence or even thought of consequence. Which the point is, that was wrong then, it's wrong now. Just we're finally getting around to admitting it's wrong.
But then was literally a year ago.
Right.
I think it was worse, and it's evolved. Fine. I mean, it's evolved, but I mean, like, we've had a renaissance of this behavior being considered unacceptable over the last 6 months to a year. But I mean, let's not act like, you know, it was 20 years ago where all this bad behavior. Fair. I mean, everything with Harvey Weinstein, I mean, there are stories that are as recent as, you know, a couple years ago that go as far back as, you know, before I was born. So, I mean, you know, he's a guy that kind of spans multiple decades and is a prime example of what the problem is. And so I don't want to minimize that by saying it's all bullshit because, look, here's a woman who's an advocate for it and she's just as bad as men.
Right.
Because here's the thing. With men in general, a lot of men, if a woman approaches them and is sexually aggressive towards them, then they're very receptive of that behavior from a woman.
That's a dangerous generalization to make, though.
That's why I'm trying to be specific. Okay. I'm saying all. But if a moderately attractive, if a woman of you know, typical average looks or whatever, has some sort of a sexual advance towards a man and he's not married or whatever, his first thought isn't, she made me feel uncomfortable and now, you know, I need to write about it in my diary and it's this thing that I'm going to hold on to and I need to see a therapist, right? If a woman comes up to me, right now, all right, here's a prime example. I'm a bigger guy.
Yes, you are.
Stronger guy. I got big arms, big old chest, right diet and everything else put together pretty well. Constantly. Almost, I would say not as much on a daily basis now, just because of where I work, but on a weekly, at least regular basis, a woman will walk up to me, touch me, stroke my arm, and talk about the size of my arms. Right?
Sure.
Which I think nothing of.
Right.
I don't give a shit. Like, I've been working out since I was fucking 12. It is what it is. Now. Think about that. Like, flip that around.
Reverse that, right.
Right, reverse that. Like, and that causes... Now, here's the deal. It's not a huge deal for me, but I could see... But there are times where it makes me uncomfortable, right? If I'm in a professional setting, if you and I are colleagues at a conference and we're having a serious conversation about a deal and a woman who's had a couple cocktails at the happy hour comes up to me and starts rubbing my arm and starts talking about how big they are while I'm trying to talk to you about closing a deal, that throws things off kilter a little bit and it creates an awkwardness that I become self-conscious about.
The big difference is you're not afraid of her forcing herself upon you.
That's the key. And that is the key, because at no point in time has any woman ever, even if a woman has come to me and tried to grab my dick or tell me how she wants to do whatever to me sexually, at no point in time was I in fear that she was going to be able to subdue me and do what she will. Right? At no point in time was I worried about being alone with her or being isolated with her to the point where I felt that I was in danger. Like, there was no situation where I could imagine in my head other than she had some sort of narcotic in a syringe, right, that she jabbed in my neck. And then it's just like, all right, well, if you do that, then I'm pretty sure my dick doesn't work, so whatever. But
fair.
That's the difference.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a huge, huge difference. Now, it is also fair to call this woman in California out as saying you can't wave the banner of Me Too if you're going around acting inappropriately. You can't. It's not apples or it is some apple, somewhat apples or oranges, but don't go getting high and mighty. Listen, when you're
we're in a fruit salad. We're in a fruit salad.
What I'm saying is
it's hard to I don't know what fruits we can compare and what fruits we can't, but we're in a fruit salad bowl together. And I need you, like, and listen, she could still be an advocate for women.
Sure.
But she needs to check her own behavior. She needs to acknowledge what she's done. She pulled the, I have no recollection of this. Well, bitch, you were drunk. Like,
okay.
But I mean, you have to check yourself. What she should have done was immediately apologize and said, listen, I apologize. That behavior is completely acceptable and
unacceptable.
is completely. Freud. This behavior is completely unacceptable, and this is the type of behavior that shouldn't be tolerated by, you know, by women, and it definitely shouldn't be tolerated by men. And, you know, I own it, and whatever happens, happens. Like, that's what her response should have been.
And it was.
And her response was, I don't even remember, so I don't even know.
So, all right. There's a few. All right, so I got a bunch of things swirling around in the head, but I do want, and they're probably caused by Glenn Morangi. You also posted something on our Twitter, I believe, about, so Jimmy Garoppolo signed what I believe is the biggest contract in the NFL right now, or will sign it. No, that's official, I think. They can negotiate now. So Jimmy Garoppolo will be the highest paid player in the NFL.
Yeah.
Upon that deal.
So he signed a $137 million contract over 5 years, which I believe pay
27.5. Yeah, 27.5
pays him almost $28 million per year. I think he got, I want to say, $40 million guaranteed up front. I mean, it's just a massive contract.
Right. Which, you know, he came into San Francisco when they were a train wreck this year after a trade, put up phenomenal numbers. One, if not every game,
you got started. Your phone on you. Where's your phone?
It's charging in the other room.
Okay. All right. So I put on Twitter, and I don't have Twitter on my iPad, oddly enough, but I put on Twitter, a stat comparison between Jimmy Garoppolo's last six games and Colin Kaepernick's last six games. Now, there's a few variables in this, but the point of it is that their quarterback ratings were exactly the same. In their last six games, the biggest significant stat was that Jimmy Garoppolo had 200 yards more than Colin Kaepernick, but Colin Kaepernick's touchdown to interception ratio was better. Colin Kaepernick had more touchdowns and
fewer interceptions.
A lot fewer interceptions. And then, you know, their completion percentage was about, you know, 1.5.
It was very, very similar.
2 percentage points off. Right, and this is their last six games, both as San Francisco 49ers with, you know, pretty similar teams around them. And Jimmy Garoppolo gets, you know, $137 million contract, and Colin Kaepernick basically gets, you know, blackballed from the league.
Right. So I don't have a beef with Garoppolo getting a contract.
First of all, I will never have a beef. I've been looking at a lot of Mike Tyson stuff lately. I'm sorry. I will never have a beef with another man making money, another person making money And I will never want to take money out of another person's pocket, period. I don't care what you do. Unless you're just like a scoundrel.
Yeah, they don't say never.
Criminal. In most circumstances, whatever your hustle is, I'm not trying to take money out of your pocket. Now, if you do something wrong to get it, you should be punished. But even still, I don't necessarily want to take the money away from you, but I think you should be punished for it. But then, you know, if the money is still sitting there after the fact, then, you know, go ahead and have access to it. But I'm also from Youngstown, Ohio, and, you know, there's that.
And so the beef is not Jimmy Garoppolo, a bad person, or 49ers.
This actually has little to do with Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't really actually give a shit. Good for him. But it's, you know, a lot of people go to the fact that, oh, Colin Kaepernick, he was washed up. He was a terrible quarterback. You know, that's why he's not playing. It's like, are you sure? Are you sure? Because, you know, his stats, the last six games that he played, 65.1 completion percentage, you know, 1,300 yards passing, 9 touchdowns to 2 interceptions, and a 96.2 passer rating, right? And Jimmy Garoppolo had 67.4 completion percentage. He had 1,500 yards passing, 7 touchdowns to 5 interceptions, and a 96.2
passer the same rating. Yep.
So their stats are very similar. You know, Jimmy's was an audition. Collins was a get the fuck out of town. And, you know, that team with Colin Kaepernick, they were, I mean, the coach was on his way out. You know, I mean, because it was that with Tom Mosella, whatever that guy's name was.
The guy that followed Harbaugh, I forget his name.
Yeah, I mean, like, he was on his way out. The team was obviously in some sort of disarray. You know, Kaepernick had been hurt. You know, was coming, you know, he came in, he started the season late, and it was just, the situations were totally different, and yet, the numbers are pretty similar. Now,
really similar, yeah.
Listen, I'm not going to tell you, I probably would have paid Jimmy Garoppolo as well, but the idea that Colin Kaepernick is out of the league because he can't play, well, I think that's kind of bullshit. At the end of the day, what we know is, yes, I said it and I'll drink again.
All right, we need to bring back the Zima Ice or whatever the fuck the drink of atonement was.
Because I won't disagree with it, but we're not doing
drinking Glenmorangie is not a punishment for using the catchphrase that you promised not to use.
I won't disagree with you, but we can't do it right now.
We don't have that now. Fuck yourself. So you'll drink scotch and tell me to fuck myself.
But
perfect.
But listen, what we do know is Colin Kaepernick is being punished for what he did. You know, with the kneeling and everything else. And I don't want to relitigate that and rehash it and bring it up.
But you want to call it what it is.
But we know why it's happening. Now, my argument is, should he be in the league? Yeah, because there's a lot of really shitty quarterbacks in the league. And, like, this year, I mean, like, the Bills, when they benched Tyrod Taylor and they put in
Nate Peterman
from Cheers.
They did not put in Norm from Cheers.
They could have, I mean, like, think about, I mean, they could have, what if they could have, what if they would have had Colin Kaepernick as a backup?
I thought you were saying, what if they would have had Norm from Cheers? I was going to go, fuck you, it was not. All right, so if they would have had Colin Kaepernick, honestly, they wouldn't have been putting, wouldn't have been benching Tyrod Taylor. He'd have been on the bench already.
Maybe.
I think Kaepernick
But listen,
I know you think I bash Tyrod, and I don't. I just get frustrated. I do. Fine. I get frustrated with him. Yes. And
you wanted to bench him because he wore a hat to a press conference.
That's not true at all. That is completely untrue.
How is it not true?
I never wanted him. I said I didn't like his fucking hat.
You wanted to bench
him. No, I did not want to. Not because of a fucking hat. I wanted to bench. Oh, that's his bullshit.
You wanted to bench him.
He can't be the CEO of my team.
That is not what I said at all. You are making this shit up.
Okay.
I challenge you to find any communication that indicates that. I
challenge you to prove me wrong.
You can't prove disprove a negative. All right. I'll put my hand on the Bible and say that's bullshit.
I'll set that same Bible on fire, so that doesn't matter.
You're such a prick. All right, fine. Let's move to the whitest topic ever: the Winter Olympics. We had the Black Panther. We got this shit. Winter Olympics. Winter Olympics started today. Did you know it started today? Because I didn't.
Yeah, I watched some figure skating last night.
Okay,
it was male figure skating, and the first thing I watched is this dude from China, and he fell, and it, like,
It's kind of funny.
The judges were hard on him. He was obviously devastated. I thought it was hilarious, and I realized that I was a dick. A lot of the guys fell last night for whatever reason. I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's the ice.
So anyway,
to your question, yeah, I'm well aware that the Winter Olympics are. I'm a big Olympics guy.
I knew they were coming. I didn't know it started today.
No, I'm a huge Olympics guy. Like, I'm go USA. I'm all about it.
I typically love it too.
And the reason why is because I like to take the opportunity to watch these sports that I would never watch under any circumstance ever.
See, right? I'm a huge bobsledding fan. And I once was the luge. I'm making shit up now.
Right.
My statement is as true as the shit you said about me saying about Tyrod Taylor. There.
Right. But I do. I do. I take the time to watch. I watch curling. Watch the skiing rifle
biathlon.
Biathlon. Yes.
Which, by the way, fucking incredibly challenging.
Sure.
To cross country ski.
I'm not going to say it's not, but come on.
It's weird.
It's a weird combination of things. Why is that happening? Why is that an event? How is it an event?
It was invented in Switzerland, I'm sure. Right?
Like, I mean, the Summer Olympics where they're doing like indoor bike riding on a wood track. What the fuck is that?
There are some obscure Olympic events.
Handball.
You know what's funny is that I think didn't wrestling get removed or partially removed from the Olympics last year? Last time around? So one of the few sports that are popular almost all around the globe. I mean, it's big in the Middle East. It's big in America.
I don't know why they're moving, and yet
we've got the biathlon and the skeleton, which is basically white guys trying to get killed without a bobsled.
But I mean, there's also what is the walking one? Speed walking.
Speed walking.
That you want to talk about some weird shit? I mean, it's a lot of really skinny. It's very technical.
It's extremely technical.
Heel, toe, right. hip, hand, pump. No,
that's all summer stuff.
I mean, the winter stuff isn't as bad, but I mean...
I've gone curling multiple times. It's fun.
The fuck you go curling at?
Rochester, New York. My family would go once a year to Rochester to go curling.
The fuck you mean you went curling? Like,
we would go to a place that had a curling rink, and we would go curling, and I have gone curling multiple, I think four or five times.
We need to start a team. Listen, I thought you would hate curling
because brute strength is useless in curling.
I don't always use brute strength. Like, listen, I like beer pong, right? Which requires touch.
Which should be an Olympic sport.
I like pop a shot, which requires touch.
You know, I know what you're trying to dig at, and I won't go there.
All right.
He beat me at pop a shot 2 weeks ago.
Right.
The day of the chip challenge. Was that only a week? No, it was 2 weeks ago.
Yep, 2 weeks ago. But anyway, I like sports with finesse. But here's my deal. I loved track when I played. As much as I love football, I love track. I hated wrestling, right? I mean, at the time, going to the Olympics as a wrestler was a possibility, but I hated the sport. It's awful. I'm in a singlet. It's sweaty. It's gross. Like, wrestlers are weird. Like, I'm weird, but I'm not wrestler weird.
I remember we had this conversation like a couple years ago when I said, well, for a heavyweight, you're not very tall. And you went, oh, I wasn't a heavyweight. I had to cut weight to, what was it, 220 you had to get down
215.
To? 215. So you had to go from like 240 in football season.
250 in football season down to 215.
And at 250, you were jacked. I mean, I hate to say anything nice about it. You're kind of a dick.
I mean, but it's true.
But you were, I've seen pictures of you in high school. You were ripped.
Right.
You had to cut pounds
from 250 to 215. It was miserable. I hated it. Awful. But track was a whole nother. I mean, track is just such a. It's one of those things where I'm going to basically force my daughter to do something in track. I don't care what she does, whether it's long distance or sprints or throwing weight, whatever. But I just wanted to experience the fun that is track. It was great, and that was something where I, for a brief moment in time, I thought, hey, maybe I can do the Olympic thing. Now, eventually, football takes over and then, school or whatever. And it's just like, do I want to do it? But, and I hemmed and hawed about trying to get back into it to try to make a run at the Olympics, but I never did.
As a shot putter or what?
Yeah, as a shot putter.
Okay.
Right. No, I was fast for a big guy, but I wasn't fast enough. But you were
not fast by Olympic standards.
No, not even close. I mean, I wasn't.
Usain Bolt would smoke you.
Right. I mean, I was fast by the state of Ohio standards, and that was about it. But shot put wise, I mean, had I continued to work with it, now if I picked up a shot today and through it, then yeah, but I probably couldn't pass the drug test because, you know, they test for alcohol and I'd probably fail it.
At this particular moment, you would fail it.
Right, I would fail a drug test right now.
Tested positive for scotch. So this is something I want to talk to you about, and it's Winter Olympics related. And I'm just curious based on, this is kind of a race and age question, because there's a movie out now called I, Tonya, about the Tonya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan scandal, for lack of a better word.
Why? Okay. Horse face, why?
So here's the movie's out. I have not seen it yet. I won't race to a theater to see it, although I will watch it when it's available on
TV. It's in the theaters? I thought,
It's in theaters now. It's up for Best Picture.
Oh, I thought it was a Netflix movie. My bad.
No. Okay. I mean, I think there was a movie about them. So when I brought this up as a possible topic, that's probably why you looked at me like I had three heads. Like,
I did.
You want to talk about a Netflix movie about, okay, no.
Well, I just saw something where they were talking to Tonya Harding. And I thought it was just because it was, you know, maybe it's been, you know, some sort of 25-year anniversary or something.
It was 1992 Olympics.
Oh, so it's more than 25 years, right?
Oh. It's almost exactly 25 years.
What are we at, 2018?
18. Well, we're 18, so it's 26 years.
Okay.
But all right.
So, I mean, I guess, well, because of the way the Olympics fall, so maybe, all right. Yay, look at me. So if your question is, I was very aware of what happened.
Because it was all over the news. It wasn't quite OJ big, but it was close.
And you know, you've met my mom, and my mom is quite the diva in humble Southern Midwestern sheep's clothing. If that makes sense, like, I mean,
I've never seen that side. So,
well, my mother is, she's got that Southern hospitality
that I've seen.
And she is very humble, and she's very
sweet to me every time.
Very nice and very sweet. But my mom has a diva complex in there.
Truthfully, every time I've met your mom, it's been for 5 minutes, then your dad and I were drinking whiskey talking about it.
Fair.
Which I'm not complaining about.
There's nothing bad about that.
Not at all.
But, you know, I've known my mom long enough, pretty much all my life.
Pretty much.
So she's got that diva flair to her, but the point is that she loves ballet. She loves figure skating. She loves all those sort of, you know, kind of isolated sports where, you know, the girl's on display.
Artistic,
sort of thing.
Right.
So she watched, all that to say, she was watching the figure skating thing. I think she was watching, I can't remember. I mean, it was Tonya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan. I think, was that before Christy Yamaguchi?
I think it's close. I don't know if it was the same Olympics.
My mom loved all the skaters. I mean, she loved the Russian girl. Who was the Russian girl? I can't remember. But I mean, my mom loved all the figure skaters. So that was a big thing in our house. And so I was very aware of it.
Okay.
And then, you know, I mean, there were a lot of jokes on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah.
I mean
Seinfeld did a whole episode,
right? I mean, it was all around me, and I never, so I definitely,
okay.
I don't know if that was something that, I mean, like, they talk about, I mean, like, if you listen to rap from 92 to today, they talk about Tonya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan. Like, it.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Oh, sorry. Straight out of Compton, and I whacked Nancy Kerrigan in the leg.
Okay.
No, I mean, I don't know. I didn't know that was
right. I mean, it goes more.
It was Jeff Galooly was the guy that whacked her in the
Galooly. It's something we were very, very, very aware of.
I was just curious. I've not seen the movie yet, so I don't want to comment on it. I've heard good things.
Yeah. Now, to be honest, if Nancy Kerrigan
was played by a black person, that would be strange.
Wait, she was?
No.
Oh,
if she was, I was dating back to Black Panther.
Wait for that. Nancy Kerrigan, played by Oprah. Tonya Harding, played by Beyonce. Jeff Galooly, played by O'Shea Jackson Jr.
I was going to go with Idris Elba, but either way, I don't think there's ever been a better time to bail on a show than right
now. Will Ferrell in Blades of Glory, played by Idris Elba.
Let's bail. You're good?
I hate you.
You can hate me all you want.
We talk about everything?
We did.
We covered all the topics.
Oh, there's one more thing I want to throw out there. I picked on Mike Wood for calling me the worst comic ever. I now have proof I am not the worst comic ever. Rob Gronkowski I have absolute fucking proof.
You don't have proof.
Look up Rob Gronkowski's.
He's not the worst ever, though.
Okay, he's worse than me. I am not the worst.
You made me watch it, and I started laughing in the first like 2 minutes.
This has been Whiskey Congress. Steve, it's good talking to you. The whiskey was fantastic tonight. The payoff bet for the Janet Jackson bet from the Super Bowl will be next week's whiskey review. Thank you for listening. Anything else, Steve?
Just check out our website, whiskeycongress.com. You can find us on all the social media, Twitter, Instagram, at Whiskey Congress. And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/whiskeycongress.
Email us at jim@whiskeycongress or steve@whiskeycongress. Thank you for listening.
All right.
We're out.
And YouTube.